Chapter 1. Cold Opening. 4 minutes. 4 minutes to save East Anglia. 4 minutes. Just 240 seconds. I look at my watch and in slow motion I mouth the word motherfucker. Brackets motherfucker. The brow of the hill is still some way away, and the bald facts are these. I have just 4 minutes to make it to the top, or I risk the lives of hundreds, if not thousands, of men, women, and children. People will die. My feet pound the asphalt, giving the popular road surface what for? Wham! 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 The cat's eyes peer back at me, as if the frightened earth is peeping out at its punisher from beneath a tarmac duvet. Wham! 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 What more do you? Wham! 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 I pick up the pace. Another check of my watch. 60 seconds. 45 seconds. 20 seconds. I'm so close I can almost smell the hill's brow. 10 seconds, 5 seconds, 3 seconds, 1 second, half a second, a quarter of a second, a fifth of a second is all that stands between triumph and disaster. 10 meters to go, a sixth of a second remains, 5 meters, exactly 1/7 of a second left, 2 meters, my calves are so distressed they're almost mooing like their farmyard namesakes. Just 1/100 of a second and then, yes, I've done it. I've done it. East Anglia is saved. I look down from the hilltop at Norfolk, silently weeping for the lives that were so close to being snuffed from us. They shall never know how close they came to death, for I have reached a roadside bench atop a hill from where I can look down on Suffolk, literally, as well as metaphorically. Right on cue, the clouds give way and the beams of sunlight fire through them, as if God is trying to laser off an unsightly tattoo. Suffolk. Having saved so many souls, I am overcome with a full-body euphoria, and I realize I am celebrating, jumping up and down, arms aloft, like Rambo on the steps of Philadelphia Town Hall. And then sandwiches. As the tuna and sweet corn filling explodes in my grateful mouth, I reflect on what has just happened. In reality, of course, no lives were at risk, and even if they had been, I could have done little or nothing to help them. So what gived? Well, what I've just described was little more than a stunningly effective motivational technique. I'm attempting a long walk, and I find I'm able to cover great distances by dividing the journey up into chunks, telling myself that they have to be completed in a certain, arbitrary, time frame, and attributing grave consequences to failure. It's a technique I pioneered in primary school. Climb to the top of this rope, or Grandad kills himself. Catch the ball 3 times in a row, or contract herpes. And in this case, get to the brow of that hill in 4 minutes, or Norfolk is destroyed by an insane billionaire who's ready to detonate a subterranean munitions dump hidden beneath the county and blow the landmass sky high. And it's working. Yes, I sometimes have to artificially elongate the final second by splitting it into half, a third, or hundredths of a second and counting them slowly, but I'm chipping away at the walk. And God Christ, it needs chipping away at. The footsteps of my father walk is 160 miles long. I look ahead to the brow of the next hill and the sunlight lasers into my eyes. I allow them both to squint, the bony caves of my eye sockets narrowing a little, as if they're each trying to grip an ill-fitting monocle. I enjoy this expression. The seriousness of the frown percolates down into my body, and I feel more Dimbleby than ever. I fix my gaze on the horizon, or just past it, lean into the wind, and begin to stride towards it, desperate to get there in 6 minutes to prevent the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge from being simultaneously beheaded with a long sword. I am Alan Partridge. I am under a little pressure, but I am focused and happy.